Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Three people were rescued after being stranded by overflow in Norton Sound. KNOM reports that on Monday, local search and rescue teams from White Mountain and Golovin successfully rescued the three who were attempting to drive snow machines from Golovin across the bay to White Mountain around 1 a.m. when they went into overflow. The group used a cell phone to call for help, and rescuers responded to find them standing atop their machines to stay out of the water. Responders used a canoe and boat to pick up the stranded riders. White Mountain Village Public Safety Officer Dan Harrelson says medics at the White Mountain Clinic stabilized the snow machiners before they could be medevaced to Nome for treatment for frostbite and hypothermia. Harrelson warns that strong winds have blown water into Golovin Bay, and although the winter trail looks good and is staked, there's only about 1 inch of young ice over overflow. He recommends using an on-beach trail, which is also staked. The state legislature has been in session for 3 weeks now, and so far there are no major proposals to close the budget gap. As Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports, a citizen effort to recall the governor over budget vetoes last year is central to the lack of action.
Jerry Macbeth is a retired political scientist at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. He says Dunleavy's political base is opposed to new taxes or to dividend cuts.
You won't need much more beyond the base to, of course, to withstand a recall. So that's why he's stalling and putting things off and waiting to see what is going to happen.
Macbeth signed the recall application. Some legislators have expressed an interest in changing the permanent fund dividend formula, which would be one way to close the budget gap. But the concept hasn't been the focus of hearings in the first 3 weeks of the session. Neither have taxes. Senate President Kathy Geisel, an Anchorage Republican, says her constituents don't want to pay an income tax, even if that means they get more in dividends.
Taking money out of their paycheck for the purpose of distributing large permanent fund dividend checks. And the answer that I've gotten from them is a resounding no.
Legislators say they're looking for spending cuts, but they say Dunleavy's administration is in a better position than they are to propose policy changes that would reduce spending. Dunleavy says he's still committed to closing the gap. He says he wasn't surprised by the problems caused by state spending outpacing revenue.
A lot of these chickens that have come home to roost, I knew they were coming home. I accepted the job, and I wanted to help fix them, and I do, and I will.
For now, Dunleavy is emphasizing that any dividend cuts or tax increases should go to a vote by the public. He also recently expressed a willingness to have major spending cuts go to public votes. No legislators have proposed doing this. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
The World Ice Art Championships opened this weekend in Fairbanks. The competition has attracted 72 artists from all over the world. They carve works of art out of ice in timed individual and team competitions. KUAC's Robin reports on preparations for the 29th annual competition.
Steve Bryce is using a Dremel on a chainsaw. It got dull this week in an ice carving boot camp, where trainees learn from master ice carvers.
Yeah, we give them tools, and that's what I'm doing right now, is sharpening some tools that they've been using that kind of hit the ground. But
Bryce is standing among various carving wands that started their lives as drill bits before he modified them for ice. He now designs ice tools used around the world. On the other side of his workshop are winner's ribbons from previous art competitions. He's been carving ice since 1990 and has been involved with Ice Alaska since the founding of the organization. He's proud that the World Ice Art Competition has raised the standard for artistic expression.
You're shooting to make something spectacular, you know, better than anything you've ever made before.
The competition starts on Saturday with 15 teams of 4 people in the multi-block competition. They have 6 days to make a huge ice sculpture. The double block contest starts February 21st. The single block starts a week later. Weather forecasts predict colder temperatures this week as carvers prepare. Heather Bryce says expected nighttime lows of minus 20 or minus 30 would not change the contest schedule.
It's challenging. We might have to modify our multi-block plan a little bit, and it's definitely harder to stay warm.
Years of experience give the carvers an appreciation for the science of ice. Dean Damaris is competing in the single, double, and multi-block competitions. He was standing next to a large ice block talking about it when the ice cracked.
Team Texas for the multi-block. Two man, I'm teaming up with another guy from Texas. Oh, It's one of those love-hate sounds. It sounds cool.
But
that's what happened right here.
One?
No, right here.
Oh, is that one?
This one.
What just happened, folks? The ice just cracked. Hopefully you heard it there in the background. The ice was at midnight was still warmer on the inside than on the outside. Same thing this morning. Still colder on the inside because the air is warming it up. The temperature warms up. Well, the center's still cold.
Outside of the competition, there are lots of other carvings around the grounds. Board member Heather Bryce is buffing the ice billboard showing companies who donated airfare, lodging, tools, and equipment.
There'll be like an interactive peek-through area where you can pose the sculptures, and there's a games area. We're going to have some fire pits for the award ceremony. We've got a beautiful sponsor wall, and then we've got a big snow slide and a couple bigger ice slides this year, so kids will love it.
The organization has recovered from a falling out among board members in 2017 over a money dispute that resulted in a lawsuit that is still pending. Ice Alaska was disrupted enough that it did not put on a competition in 2018.
We were just about two steps away from just disappearing.
Steve Bryce credits board member Bernie Carl for saving the competition. Carl's wife, Connie Parks Carl, recently died, and the organization will honor her this year.
The campgrounds where we're going to hold the competition is going to be called the Connie Parks Carl Enchanted Forest.
That camping area has tall spruce trees to protect the ice sculptures from spring sunshine. The competition is on the Tanana Valley Fairgrounds, its new home since last year.
We're really happy with the progress we've made this year. Last year was a success. We were in the black, which is huge. This year we're ahead of schedule. We've got more features. The community's backing us. Ticket sales are up. So, yeah, come see it. It's going to be a great show.
In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
The ice park on College Road in Fairbanks will be open from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. daily starting on Saturday. As BP prepares to exit the state, the oil company announced yesterday that it's donating its popular conference center in Midtown Anchorage to the Alaska Community Foundation. The Alaska Energy Desk's Tegan Hanlon reports.
Tucked in between trees just south of the towering BP office in Anchorage is a modern building reserved for nonprofits and education groups. It's called the BP Energy Center, and it's BP's only big asset in Alaska that's not included in the oil company's proposed $5.6 billion sale to Hillcorp.
That one we carved out so that we could do something like this.
That's Janet Weiss, the president of BP Alaska. She says BP wanted the Energy Center to continue to serve the community into the future, long after the oil company exits the state. She says the Alaska Community Foundation was in a perfect position to step in.
A like-minded organization that believes in meeting space and providing that to nonprofits, that's cool.
Elizabeth Miller with the Alaska Community Foundation says the organization has agreed to maintain the Energy Center's building and its purpose for at least the next 20 years.
Honored to be able to carry on BP's legacy to Alaska by continuing to operate the BP Energy Center as a community meeting center for nonprofits and education organizations.
BP has a fund set aside to help pay to operate the building for at least the next two decades. In Anchorage, I'm Tegan Hanlon.
And I'm Dan Bross.